Welcome back to the Dry Podcast. We've got a couple of special guests this week. One of them is actually my co-founder, Andy Ramage. He's been wandering around the world, so I'm going to come to you in a minute. And one of them is Laurie Haynes, who is a businessman, now sober advocate, reality TV star, carnivore. It's all going off in Laurie
Haynes. Everything, mate, everything.
First of all, Andy Ramage, welcome to the Dry Podcast. How are you?
This is cool. This is my first day on the Dry Podcast. Good. Been out and about, flying the alcohol-free flag all over the place. So it's good to be back.
Where have you been, mate?
LA, which was cool. We were hanging out with mate, Rich Roll, and filming this documentary. It's going to be super exciting, which we'll double back. Talking about Dry Fest while I was away, talking about dry, talking about all things alcohol-free. Incredible trip. And also really just brought home the fact that the alcohol-free movement is just blowing up everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, and it's mad because the first time I ever saw you was when I was on the train and I saw that Rich Roll podcast of how long ago was that you filmed?
About 5 years.
Yeah. So 5 years ago you filmed Rich Roll, and that's what inspired me to take a break. So now you're on the Rich Roll podcast a second time talking about what we've created together.
You came up loads.
Yes.
Cheeky. I even managed to go Matt Pink, AKA, I'm pretty sure I did an AKA Better Life Guy.
Yeah, that's what I do now. That's what I talk about myself. I refer to myself as a BLG, in the third person.
The BLG.
But no, it's brilliant, mate. It's all exciting, isn't it? Loads is coming up. It's going to be a pretty exciting next few months.
Yeah, it's all sort of starting to filter through now. It's going to build loads of momentum. And it was lovely to be able to talk about dry. Yeah. And like many of the people within Dry, and salute and thank all the community, which are incredible for making it such a lovely space.
Brilliant. And our guest is Laurie Haynes. And I met Laurie a few months ago when you said to me, I'm going to do the first quarter of 2024 sober. First question, how's it going?
Well, I think I've smashed Q1, if I'm honest. I started with Dry Jan. I said, you know what, I'm going to set myself a target and I'll do Dry Jan. And then... being me a few days into Dry Jan, I said, you know what, I'm going to do Q1. Not even getting nowhere near the end of the month. And then end of January came and I said, you know what, I go to Barbados for a good friend's wedding end of April. So I was like, there's no point just doing Q1 if that's only 3.5 weeks later. So let's just focus. We've got all the way until Barbados. That's my target. If I can do that, I've proven to myself who's in control of this body and mind. It's me. And let's really see if all of these proclaimed gurus on not drinking, let's see if it's actually true. Let's see how I'm going to feel, right? And I'm now pretty much at the end of Q1. I feel amazing. I feel really good. Barbados is in my sights. It's 3.5 weeks away. So I'm now at the point where I'm like, will I drink in Barbados? I haven't said it, but I'm thinking it. And I had a discussion with my fiance, Fern, and she's like, do you think you'll even drink there? Because I don't think you will. And I said, I don't know, babe. I really don't know. Like, I'm enjoying it. I feel really good. I feel strong. I'm back in the gym. I'm up at 5, some days 4 a.m. I've got this weird obsession with getting up super early, and too many people are telling me to get up at 5, so I've been getting up at 4. I don't know why, but yeah. I've been enjoying it. And... I don't know if I want to go back to drinking, because I do faintly remember the feeling sluggish and only looking forward to the next beer. So on a Tuesday, I'd be like, oh, when's Thursday or Friday coming? Where it used to be Saturdays, and then it got to Thursdays. So do I want to go back to that? Probably not. I'd like to stay as I'm feeling right now. But Barbados, the sun... lots of people will be drinking. Probably 99.9% of the guys there will be. It is a celebration. And unfortunately, hand in hand, celebrations normally come with alcohol. That's what we've ever known, right? And I love what you guys do and working towards changing that perception, because it shouldn't have to come hand in hand. You should be able to go out and party and dance and do things with people. That doesn't mean you have to be under the influence of alcohol. So... it will be a challenge. We shall see. Especially getting to the airport, not having a beer. I don't know. I've been going for Indian takeaways. Normally that is 2 cobras, no matter what I do. I have them before I even look at the menu. Wolfram, do I do a Boschier? Great, 2 cobras, please. Let me just get halfway through the first one and start pouring the second one. So, and they know me there. And even now, I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, Dry Jan's finished. I'm like, different conversation.
Can I just say something though, mate? What with that? I think my phrase, I was talking to Fern about it off air, about how I always say to people, like, take a peek behind the curtain. Once you see what you see, like, you can't unsee it. And yeah. I think you're, by giving yourself Q1, alcohol free, you cannot undo and unsee what you've just seen. That you cannot unsee. You get up at 4 a.m. I've seen you in the ice bath, I've seen you in the sauna, I've seen you loving sober life, which is a pleasure to see anyone do that. But so even if you go there, there's no pressure on you. Go and, if you drink, you drink. If you don't, you don't. Whatever happens at the end of it, you'll know that you've just had a most incredible Q1. So you'll always come back to that. So it's my job, and our job is to get people to try it, give it a good go, give it 100 days, which is about a quarter anyway.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that and experienced it, it's really difficult for people to then go and drink and then not want to go back. So I think, first of all, well done. But secondly, almost don't worry too much about it. Don't put too much pressure on yourself.
I think, like, the thought of the next morning, waking up in the villa thinking, do you know what? I've just blown everything, but that wouldn't be the case.
No.
But then I'm like, but then how do I tell people I've been dry and sober for this long if I break it? That, is there a rule around that? Because that would be, by the time I go to Barbados, it'll be about 122 days, let's say. So do I say I'm 4 months sober and then I fucked up? Or do I say I made a mistake within my sober journey and made me realise I shouldn't have done it? Like, how do people go around that?
That's actually a really good question, and I think it is unique to everyone. But the secret to it is that, as Matt said, you've had this lovely break from alcohol, you're starting to feel those benefits, you're going to go away, and you haven't committed that you're going to drink, or you might not drink at the moment. I think take the pressure off yourself, and then see how you feel. And if you do wake up the next day and you feel shy, and you lose a bit of momentum, and the weight goes on, and you stop training, and all those type of things, you've learned something really powerful, that actually you might want to get back on the fun side of the island much quicker. So in terms of your, do you mark it as a blip? Is it a start again? I just think it's a learning point on the curve. Do you know what I mean? It's an experiment potentially that you might want to run or you might not want to run. But if you do run it, take the learning from it. And it might be that actually at the end of that, you're like, do you know what? I think next time I might not drink because I've lost this momentum. And I would keep going. I would sort of see it as part of an ongoing alcohol-free journey that's got a blip in there or a moment in there where you decided to try something different, as opposed to snakes and ladders. That's it, I've got to go back to step one. Because it's never back to step one. I think it's like a corkscrew, an upward corkscrew of change. So even if there's a moment when you slip up or trip up, right, because most people do anyway.
Yeah.
It's the truth of it, it's natural to change. But let's say in this instance, you go on your holiday and it doesn't quite work out. It's not that you've gone back to zero again, you've gone further up that corkscrew. You might technically look like you've gone back to the start, but you're still higher up. And then there's probably going to be a few more bumps in the road, but then you might get to that place where you want it, whether that might be, you know, like myself, on a longer stretch from alcohol, or it might be that full control. So I'd take that approach, I think, is the best way.
I think the biggest thing that runs through my mind is, like, will you still be the same fun person, Laurie, that you normally are when you're drunk? Because when I'm drunk, I dance, I sing, I stand at a table, I make everyone laugh, I've got more energy, you know, and because you thrive off false dopamine. So I'm like, what's actually going to happen in that scenario? Because obviously Q1 for me has meant staying home. I've reverted back to the introverted Laurie that I've always liked to have been, but I was then an extrovert because I had to be out of the house. So I've enjoyed being at home. And I said, I've got the plunge pool there, my sauna, my gym's there. I don't leave. And I said to the firm, we don't even need a second car. I don't even leave the bloody house. Like, if I'm going out to the shops, I walk. So, but being outside of that comfort zone, being outside of these premises where my office and where everything is, like, will I still be the same person? Because I go to bed at 8:30, 9:30. If it's 10 o'clock, I feel like it's a late one. So what's that Laurie going to be like in Barbados? Like, when it gets to 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock, when the party, you know, so say, is just getting started. What Laurie is that going to be? Because this Laurie likes to get in bed and study and look at things on YouTube about technology and read books. But that Laurie before would be standing on the table doing the YMCA, like fucking shuffling around the thing, you know, eating whatever food's left from the wedding venue at midnight, taking it back to the room, you know, slurring my words and probably jumping the swimming pool fully clothed. Like, you know, what is this Laurie going to be like? And that's the Laurie I can't comprehend because I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah,
that's something I can't visualise.
Yeah, and even,
I don't be called boring.
No, and that is, do you know what? This is such a good conversation. Let's dive into this. I think all of us have to go through that place where, you know, for me, I was similar to you, right? I was quite introverted. I am introverted. Yeah, alcohol made me extrovert. So I was the one, same as yourself, doing the YMCA, dancing on the tables, leading the charge. That was my whole persona. That's how I did business. That's how I met my mates. So to take that away, I was like, actually, am I going to lose 4 pints fun time? Andy, where's he going to go? Do you know what I mean? A bit as you just described. But then I started to get really comfortable with the fact that actually, I don't think that was me. It was never me. It was a persona that alcohol was created or created within me. And I'd always feel really disappointed the next day when I'd be hungover, a bit anxious, and people would come up and go, there's that fun time guy. Like, hey, almost like dance monkey dance. And I couldn't do it. And I'd be really confused in my own head going, like, where has he gone? And what I realized is that my real authentic self was that person that's a bit more introverted. And maybe it was time to pass the baton on to those that wanted to jump on the tables and do what I used to do and still get a great buzz out of that, but not feel the need to be that person anymore, because it wasn't ultimately me. It was a persona that alcohol created, and I got much more comfortable with just showing up and shining, being a bit more introverted, going to bed at 9 o'clock, reading my books, learning. That was filling me up with this internal joy. So I think that is you're at a real precipice in many ways in your life, because I think that is a big junction point. It's like, actually, do I need to keep being that Laurie that's jumping off the tables and leading the charge, or can I stand in that power and go to those events and just do it a little bit differently? It's not an easy thing. And I think that's probably the bit that most people find the hardest about this whole alcohol-free adventure, especially people that are a bit more introverted. It's like, I've got to let that part of me die a little bit.
Yeah.
That's like a charged word I've just used, but I think there's truth in that. It's like, I've got to walk away from that persona and get comfortable with me. But once you do, you've solved it.
I think it's especially where people that are people that thrive off of dopamine, endorphins and different types of adrenaline, because for me, if there was no events, if there were no weddings, selfishly speaking, I would do a year. I'd keep going with this sober journey. Like I personally have not struggled. I know other people do, but just for clarification, I have not struggled with this at all. Right? Even going to the Indian restaurant the other day, in my mind I was like, but not did I once think, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it. I just went, and then stopped. So for me, it's the key events, the weddings, the parties, the birthdays. And if I'm being honest, I have turned down a few birthdays so far this year due to being busy and probably making lame excuses, really. But it's more, I don't want to put myself in that predicament because it's different. Being at home, not leaving, that's easy for me because I've got no excuse to drink. But being at that event, that might be where I'm then questioning my own self, like, well, it's only once, and you can go back to doing 4 or 5 months of not doing it again. And that's what I tend to do when it comes to my diet and nutrition. We've smashed it for 3 weeks, have some chocolate. You've got to do moderation, lads, because you've never done moderation, and that's why you're going around in circles. But I don't want to do moderation with alcohol, because I'm one of those people that I'm all or nothing, and it's something I've really tried to work on, and I'd struggle. So it's yeah, if I do have a few beers, will that then be the lid taken off of the Pandora box? And that's a big question that I will never know until I get there and experience it.
Yeah, it's all a journey then, mate, isn't it? I think you got to look at where you were before. Like how many nights out have you been on? How much drink have you drunk? How many drugs have you done? How many stupid things have you done? All those things is probably a lot. The answer to those is probably a lot. And you get to a stage and an age where you go, well, that was brilliant. That was fun, a lot of that. Yeah, there's some shit bits in it, but it was fun. And now what's your life like? You just got engaged. You've had a baby. Mm-hmm. You just started a business. Life's different now. So you're looking forward. And is the old Laurie that had all them habits going to help the new Laurie build the life he wants to live? And the answer is probably no. So you're still fighting. You're pulling yourself away from the behaviours you've had because that's just part of your life that you can't regret or take back or look back on. Right, it's time to start again, move on. It's going to involve you going for a journey of this tug of war with wanting to go back a bit because that was good fun and it was comfortable, and actually no, I want to do this. So, and that's going to involve breaks, it's going to involve drinks, it's going to involve breaks, it's going to involve drinks. And it doesn't just happen overnight. Mine went on for years. I'd take 6 weeks off and then I'd have all the weekend sesh, and then I'd be like, fuck, I feel like shit. And then I'd be like back on the sober journey. And then it took me like on and off to then one day it clicks. And then you go, right, actually, no, I know I've had enough now in this side. Mm. I know that this is the life I want to live. And that's not to say that I don't still want to drink. It's more now that I just want to go and get fucked up and escape. Mm. I don't want to sit in a pub and have a beer. I don't want to sit at home and have a beer. But that's the only thing I struggle with now, a little bit. But it is a little bit. And I'm 4 years on. In 4 years from now, it might be a different struggle.
Mm.
But I think, yeah, you just got to like look at it quite pragmatically, really. Just think it's the reality of it. You're having the courage at your age to make a big decision. That's going to involve a little bit of to and fro, isn't it?
I think as well, like for me, having my little baby girl is the excuse that I make to not do things, because I'm like, oh, the baby, she's got a routine, she's got to be in bed, babe, let's not do that. And it's an easy way of saying no to things. But since being sober, when I say that word, I stutter, because I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic, why do I even say sober? So it's still, I'm trying to reprogram my mind to understand. Like when I'm dry and someone goes, oh, you had a drinking problem. I've had that a few times. I'm like, well, I've never had a drinking problem. I used to party as a young, successful teenager and to suppress my emotions. I then become a family man and didn't do the many things in life that gave me endorphins and dopamines. So I found it in ways of having 3 or 4 beers in the evening at home, being in the house. So I went from one end of the spectrum to the other. But I didn't like either, because one left me with hangovers and anxiety and God knows what. The second one left me sluggish, feeling crap, and then being a representation of the bad habit I don't like and didn't like within my parents, who drank every night, whether it was 2 beers or 10, depends on the day of the week, right? So, and I'm like, how can I be that guy that always says about my upbringing, which wasn't great most of the time, how can I be that guy that's having 2, 3, 4 beers? But then I'm like, well, I am still reading them books in bed. I'm still cuddling them. I'm playing with them. But I'm like, am I doing it properly and correctly when I've had a few too many drinks?
I think it's understandable as well. There's a bit of readjustment for yourself because it's still quite new in your life. And obviously, Fern took a break, but still drinks. Same setup for me. My wife still drinks. All my mates still drink. All my family still drink. So I think it is getting comfortable with this new world version of you, where actually you start to reintroduce your social life. But you might find it does change. And I think own that a little bit. Don't worry about that as much. I think the things that you once thought were really enjoyable are less so now because you see them differently. Like sitting in a pub for 8 hours, I couldn't think of anything worse now. Yeah. Whereas when I was drinking, I didn't mind doing that. In fact, I used to quite look forward to it. Staying up till silly o'clock with my mates talking nonsense, I used to enjoy, and I sort of enjoy that less now. So I just do less of it, if you know what I mean. Mm. So I think there's definitely an adjustment thing overcoming you, and obviously with that slightly more introverted nature, which is probably inherent to you anyway, there's a bit of retraining that needs to go on, i.e. putting yourself in amongst it again. And you're going to find, though, and I say this to a lot of people, that lots of things that you once found enjoyable will be less so. I think it is getting comfortable with that, whereas the mistake a lot of people make is, I've stopped drinking, I should be able to go out and it should be just as much fun, if not a lot more fun. But it's just not. Do you know what I mean? Because you're not under that influence of the drug that everyone else is under the influence of. So there is that trade-off. Yes, I could step back into those shoes and put myself in that place, but then I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be grumpy, and it's going to destroy the next day. Therefore, I'm making a conscious decision that I don't want that as much in my life. So I think there's a period of readjustment that often needs to happen. So rather than beating yourself up thinking it should all be the same, I think embrace that, but then you might need to step into that a little bit as well. Do you know what I mean? To reintroduce it into your life on your terms rather than completely moving away from it.
I think obviously, yeah, with time, things get easier and you adapt, right? So I think to try and give some of the listeners some value as well, because obviously everyone's story and situation is completely different, because I could be open and honest and be very transparent to say, if I wasn't in a stable relationship with a young baby, which I know she needs all of my attention amongst our other two children that also equally need that, as well as Matt mentioned, our new business, Shirar, needs my full attention because we've got a lot of lives in our hand, right? So I've got a lot of responsibility on my shoulders, whether it's corporate or family responsibility. So that does play a huge part. But if I never had those stable foundations, I could probably say right now, being honest, I would booze. If I weren't with Fern and my kids were at a certain age and something traumatic should happen, I would be uptown boozing. And that would be a massive step back. It would be the old Laurie from many years ago, suppressing my emotions and ultimately reverting back to what I always knew. And that's quite a sad thing for me to actually say, hearing it, you know, hearing myself say it, because
that's not enjoyable. Although there were fun times, but it's false fun. And what I've found in life now, not just from being dry, being sober, but getting to that point in my life where I want to be a family man, I want to dedicate my time to my children, I want to become a better person, and I've done a lot of self-reflection. It's made me realize the person I thought I was before wasn't the guy that I really wanted to be. And you've just touched base on that. And the way I've managed to do this is not just from saying, I'm not drinking as of tomorrow morning. Like, that wasn't the situation. I've had to do a lot of other work around that. And a big factor is setting goals, because if you do not have goals, you're not going to have any kind of fulfillment within your day-to-day life. So everything will become trivial and mundane to you. So you're not going to enjoy those things. So what are you going to do? You're going to look for false bits of dopamine, these little cheap dopamine, right? And the easiest place to find it is alcohol. Yeah, you can get it from chocolate and certain things, but that makes you feel sick after a big bar. But alcohol, you can keep drinking and drinking. Well, I could. I could do 12, 15-hour sessions, sleep for six, up, big full English breakfast, and back on the booze again. So that's why people revert to alcohol, because you can keep theoretically going and keep getting those dopamine and endorphin hits. So if you don't have goals, you have nothing theoretically to look forward to. Now, I'm not saying you've got to go and set goals like, I want a jet and I want my own island. Like, they're unrealistic. But you also don't want to be setting goals that are easily attainable, because then when you reach them, you then become in a situation of dissatisfaction, disappointment. You go, wow, I'm here. What do I do now? Oh, I just go back to go out partying again. So you've got to set easy goals that you know you can reach, that are a part of a bigger picture, of the bigger goal. And that bigger goal can be broken down into many things. So I want to be a great family man. My baby girl's 8 months old. So I've got 16 more years of full-time support. Probably she'll probably be with me till she's 35. And I've got Sunday and my son. They need me. So there's a goal there. I've got to be the best parent. I've got to make this business, Shira, I want it to be valued at $1 billion. So I've got to work towards that. And that's a big number, a billion. But if I set it at 10 million, 20 million, I'm going to hit that very easily. People would say, easily, that's a lot of money. But I know I'll hit that because I'm now visualizing it. I'm putting it into fruition. And that's what I do. So I've set vision boards. I've created vision boards. I've made daily rituals, which form a routine. So when people always say, how do you stay motivated and disciplined? And how do you do X, Y, and Z? I'm like, you don't get disciplined or motivated. You do it. It's something you do. It's a proactive sentence. I do discipline from my rituals, which I set myself, which are a part of my routine. That's how I've made my new habits. And those habits are what I need to follow in order to hit and stay within the remit of my goals that I set. And that's the fulfillment journey. People say, but I just want to be happy. Happiness is not a destination. It's a stimulant that you feel. So when you drink a beer and you feel like He-Man, and you feel like you could fight 10 blokes, and you feel like you're the best singer and the best dancer, that's not true. And happiness is also not a place that you can get to. It's a feeling that you have, and it comes and it goes. Like feeling sad, it comes and goes. So I feel like I've learned a lot about how to articulate my emotions, understand my emotions, and even this morning, again, I told you I'd be totally transparent on this podcast. Even this morning, when my alarm went off, I was like, oh, but you've already been for football this weekend, done two gym sessions. Just have a day off. Forget about it. Like, you don't need to. And instantly, that voice that used to be the echoing voice that would go, yeah, that's right. You've had to have a day off. That voice doesn't echo the other voice no more. That one was like, what are you talking about? This isn't what we do. We get up, we go downstairs, we get in the plunge pool. That's what we do, because that's the new lorry. The old one doesn't even exist anymore. So get up. Got up with my eyes still stuck together, walked downstairs before I even went to the toilet, grabbed my towel, I went straight outside, straight in the plunge pool, without even thinking about anything. Didn't look at my phone, didn't do nothing. After that, I was alive. I felt stimulated. There was my first release of dopamine and endorphin straight away, because I've done a cold plunge pool. Now, I'm not trying to say to everyone, go and do a cold plunge. I'm just trying to say, find something that can fit within your routine, make it a ritual, believe in it and do it. And don't say you're going to do it, do it. Otherwise, you will revert back to what you know, and that's cheap hits of stimulants.
That's a really good point. I think we talk a lot about this, and I'll get really passionate about this, about finding something to get excited about in the morning. And it might be making your company worth $1 billion, but it might just be writing a journal, or it might be going for a 5-minute walk, or it might be meditating for 1 minute, and it might be really simple. There's a thing that changed my life, and I remember thinking, I was in a corporate world where I thought, oh, it's all right for you, someone like you, who can do that, you've got the time to do it or whatever, and I'd look at people with resentment like that. And it was actually Andy that inspired me, because he was in the city doing a sort of very different work, but in a similar sort of world. And he was doing stuff around the outside of his, because you suddenly get your time back, you get your mornings back, you get your energy back. And it was Andy that inspired me to actually get up early and do something before work and after work. And then I started doing stuff. I started creating stuff. And that momentum shifted. And 6 months, a year later, I'd built something. And I was like, I've got a bit of a platform here to do something with. And from there, and it all started from just getting up a bit earlier and doing something for myself that made me excited. And that helps on the reverse, because when I was thinking to myself, am I going to have a beer tonight? I was thinking, no, because I'm getting up early, because I can't wait to get stuck in, I can't wait to get my laptop out, I can't wait to write a book, and I can't wait to do all this stuff and create. So you're exactly right. You need to be excited, you need to be ambitious, and that's going to be the thing that gets you up in the morning and the thing that stops you from boozing at night.
Yeah, and just jumping in there, listening to your story, which was inspirational, and yours. And I think the key to all of it is that momentum and that consistency. And what is the thing that blows all that up? Back to the same thing, is alcohol, isn't it? Mm. You can have all the goals in the world, in my opinion, you can have all these great plans, but if you're drinking in the week, at the weekend a bit more, your consistency just goes. That tiredness, that drudginess, suddenly you can't be asked to get up and hit the plunge pool. Suddenly those great visions that you had in your mind are clouded out by that anxiety. You're not as, you know, proactive as you would normally be. And all of a sudden, those goals get lost very often. Not always, but I think that's the case for most people. So when it comes back to building this compelling future, which we talk about a lot, I think that's the secret to it. And I think that's where you're heading on your own adventure in terms of being alcohol free. You're building such a compelling future, there's just not going to be time for alcohol. Mm. Even if you want, it's going to be like, there's no room for that if I want to be the best dad I want to be. There's no room for alcohol if I want to build a $1 billion business. But I'm seeing this everywhere at the moment, and something that I've really noticed over the last 10 years, the real top performers don't drink anymore. Mm. I train loads of footballers, they do not drink anymore. I saw a brilliant article about Richard Branson just recently. We're all entrepreneurs now in this room. And Richard Branson is a typical entrepreneur that's always photographed with a glass of fizzy champagne. He looks like he's leading a champagne lifestyle. And I always used him as a bit of an anti-example of someone that was portraying this imagery. And I'd always assume in my mind, I bet he doesn't drink a lot. And then lo and behold, I listened to another podcast with Tim Ferriss, huge podcast. And Branson's on there and said, oh, by the way, he was talking about alcohol. He says, I barely drink anymore, if at all, which I was like, ears lit up. Mm. And then he said, if you see me photographed with a drink, it happens all the time, and it looks like I'm drinking champagne, I'm not. He said, invariably, that's fizzy water. And he said, if it's got alcohol in it, I'm not drinking it. Mm. And I was like, boom, there you go again. That's exactly what I'm saying. If you want to be like optimal anything in your life, from entrepreneurship to the best parent to the best athlete, in my opinion, I'm biased, there is no room for alcohol anymore.
There's not. And when you was about to say that, then I was really shocked, because I've read about Richard Branson's actual daily routine, because I'm a big advocate of routines, rituals, habits, right? Because without those, ultimately, you can't do nothing, because what you put in your gut fuels your body. If you haven't got the right habit and routine, you're not going to eat the right food that's not going to fuel your body. So you're then going to revert back to doing sit on the sofa, because it's easy to sit on the sofa and lay down and do nothing, can be lazy and feel sluggish because you're eating crap food, which then means you're going to be drifting in and out of sleep. You're going to mess up your circadian rhythms. Circadian rhythms regulate your mood. If your mood's not regulated, everything is a shambles. And that's science, that's facts, right? So Richard Branson walks around his island at 5 a.m. every morning, or it might have been 6, but I think it was 5 every morning with his dog. He walks around his island, then he comes back and does meditation, then he does work and opens up his computer. And he's got many other things in his routine I won't go into, but that's how he starts his day every morning. He wakes up, first thing he does is walk around his island. Obviously, people go, well, he's got an island to walk around. Well, I'm sure you've got streets to walk around or something, right? We can all make an excuse. We can all make excuses for everything that we do. Yeah, but I can't do carnival because I can't afford meat. But you can. Everyone can do something that can better the situation they're in now. And what I hear a lot, and what I feel a lot of people do really well, is make great excuses. And when I'm doing sort of helping people in conversation or people are opening up to me, and I'm always brutally honest, I'm like, do you want to hear the truth, the brutal facts, or do you want me to tiptoe around what you want me to say? They're like, no, no, be honest. I'm like, you're a liar. No, I'm not, I don't lie. You lie to yourself every single day because you're not happy with the person that you are. So why are you not striving to be someone different so you can thrive? Like, yeah, but it's just, no one can ever actually explain the reasons why. And then even when you do know why, it's doing it. There's so many different understandings in knowing why and doing the why. And that's where I think people miss out and people don't actually change because they don't know their why. Why do you want to get up at 5 a.m? Oh, because every guru on Instagram does it. No. Why I do it, Laurie Hangs, why I do it, I get up because I need that hour on my own before the cavalry runs down the stairs of all the children, kids and the dog, right? I need that hour. My developers are based in India. They're 4 hours ahead. So I need that bit of time to deal with those guys before I deal with the UK. I like to be awake before majority of the UK because that's something that I do different to other people and it makes me feel better. If you've worked with clients in America, then you don't need to get up at our time at 4 or 5 a.m. Have a lay in because you know it's got to suit you. And I hear so many people that are like, yeah, but this guy on Instagram does this and he does that, and I do this, and it's about what you want to do. And that's where your rituals are so important. Like, write down what do you want to do. Yeah, you can use people for inspiration. Don't get me wrong. Like, what do you want to do? If you've got something. You know, people that have things with their blood sugar, people that have different kind of disabilities. You can't do what other people do to a degree. So you need to fit what fits your plan, do what fits you. And that's the hardest thing because being in the public eye and posting so much on social media like I do every day pretty much, I get so many mixed comments back, not just on the images or the reels or the pictures. The DMs normally are busy, right? And there's two ends of the spectrum. There's resentful, nihilistic people that are jealous, you know, trolls. And then there's the other end that are like, I love what you do, bro. You've inspired me. I've been doing it for many months, but I didn't want to say nothing to you until I stuck to it. And everything in the middle. And it's hard to try and help coach people, but I've heard every excuse, every story. And I just always say the same voice note back. Do what works for you. That's it. Like, that's all you can literally do in life is do what works for you. And if that means cutting out alcohol, guess what? You probably have a few more pounds in your pocket so you can buy that meat to then become carnivore, if that's what you want to do. Then you're going to feel better. Then you're probably going to work a bit harder, which means you're probably going to make more pounds, which then means you can go on more holidays because you've got more money, spend time in the sun, do things that bring you fulfillment. If holidays do bring you fulfillment, it gives you something to look forward to. And that's what I always tell people, do something that you're going to look forward to. Like you've wrote a book, right? So that's a long process, isn't it? It takes months, 2 years, sometimes 3 years to write a book. So you know there's always an end goal of holding that in your hand, knowing that I writ that, the smell of the fresh paper, like someone messaging you later saying, I've read that book, it helped me. That's the fulfillment you get later on down the line. And that's where legacy comes into it. And that's why I'm building Chirag. It's not about being a $1 billion company. It's about building a legacy, not just for my children, but for my names. People always say, that guy did everything he could to help people and he built something incredible.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
I think that's brilliant, mate, and really well put. And I think what people also don't get scared off or put off by is they don't often know what it is they do want. So I often ask him the question when doing coaching, like, well, is the life you're currently living serving you? Yes or no? Like, do you feel like there's more to life that you don't know about? Yes or no? And ask them those sort of direct questions. And often that's the case of, well, just do something different. Just try something different. Just try stopping drinking. Try trading your evenings for your mornings. Because that's the ultimate trade for me.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Because then you step into the unknown. And I think that's when you step into the unknown that life gets very exciting and things start falling in your lap. So yeah, I think it's great knowing what you want and being demanded. But a lot of people, because alcohol really fucks you up and it destroys your self-confidence. It destroys you. I often talk about you're born into the world as like a soulless and alignment journey. And you just get nudged away from it all the time. Different friends, different work colleagues, different partner, football team, whatever it is, they're drifting you away from who you truly are. And it's when you're over here, you're miles away from your true alignment, that you become lost, you snap, something happens in your life, that causes you to go back, stop drinking, and you start going back on this self-development journey, which is getting you ultimately back to alignment, true alignment, who you really are. But often people lose touch of it because they're so far away from it. So I think taking a break from the booze is definitely the first thing that I would say that helps you rediscover maybe what it is you do want. Would you say?
Yeah, I'm totally biased. I'm always going to say it, but it's so true because everything we're talking about, I think, is influenced by alcohol, and 70% of the adult population in the Western world drink. So I think 70% of the adult population, in my opinion, are underperforming in some of these areas of their life. It's much harder to be really focused on a goal, an objective, that mental clarity, if you're destroying it all by this couple of drinks in the week or a couple of more at the weekend. So I think everything we're talking about is fueled, and probably one of the reasons you've been clearly very successful whilst drink was in your life. And I think now it's been removed for a period of time, you're going to see a whole new wave of like momentum and success. You're going to go to levels that you've never been to before. And I think that's going to be exciting for you. And I think that's ultimately what we're talking about, building such a compelling future. Why would I drink? Why would I blow it all up? Or knowing to such a level that if I do drink, what are the consequences of that? And then maybe it's something that's very tactical in your life as opposed to something that's everywhere. And what I did want to do, though, is come back. And you've mentioned Shiraz a couple of times. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So Shiraz is a mental health and wellbeing platform that me and Fern built together. And it was built off the back of a lot of pain, being we use multiple platforms to help ease the pain and manage the daily traumas from previous life and experiences. And then we sort of clashed heads and said, why are we paying for X, Y, and Z platforms? There's too many of them out there. I'm spending £80 a month. She was spending about £400. She had courses and coaches. She had everything you can imagine, right? And we knew that weren't sustainable because it's expensive. So we said, let's get everything in one place. Not only, you know, from the financial perspective, but having different notepads and journals and everything all over the place. And what app do I do that in again? Yeah, that one. It was too much crossover. It was too overwhelming, especially at a time in need. So we built something, a 360 wellbeing suite. It's in one place. It does everything from holistic to a clinical perspective. And we're actually about to, we're about to launch an EAP, so an employee assistance program, where you can speak directly to therapists through our app. So that is really the icing on the cake for what we've got. We've got an AI therapy tool already, which has not only saved lives, but it's helping people manage their daily lives. And we're big advocates of journaling, breath work, meditation, not just from a spiritual perspective, because I've never been spiritual. I don't really do much with crystals. Sage in the house I've done probably three times in my life. Fern's more spiritual, but mine's more about what I touched base on earlier, the routines, the rituals, the habits, because what I try and tell people, and I'd love to just sort of pull it on every billboard so people could really read it every corner they turn, is stop giving into instant gratification. Just because you work Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. does not mean you deserve a beer Friday night. That's what people, oh, I've had a long week, I deserve a beer. Why do you? How about you've had a long week, your body deserves rest? What? Yeah. How crazy does that sound? Rest, laying down, listening to a nice, calming, soothing voice that puts you in a state of relaxation to give your body the restoration that it needs from that hard week that you just so claim to have had. That's the polar opposite of what I would like to try and spread awareness and echo that education to people. Because when you say, well, I'm sober, people go, well, good for you. And it's really about breaking down, like you touched base on, Matt. Like I always say, what don't you like about your life? Well, what do you mean? Well, what don't you like? What don't you like? Is it your diet? Is it the time you go to bed? Yeah, but I just end up watching Netflix and then before I know it's midnight, I'm in this series. Great, are you happy with that? Well, are you happy with that? If you are, then great, we don't need to have this conversation. But most of the people I speak to are not. So fucking cancel your Netflix account then. Grow some balls and cancel that £5.99 and get rid of Netflix. Make the first change, the first step. Get rid of Netflix. Reduce the time on social media, scrolling endlessly. Because again, that's cheap dopamine. Scroll, 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 scroll. Chocolate, beer, scroll. Like, you're in this never-ending loop, this never-ending cycle. And someone needs to clamp the circuit. And anyone that listens to this that thinks, you know what he said today has resonated with me. I do want to make a change. I don't know where to start. You're going to get pumped from listening to certain things on this podcast. You're going to take notes down. You're going to think, right, this is it. But the next day, the probability of you actually keep on going with what we've told you is probably very low. So you need to just take your pen and paper and say, right, what don't I like about myself? Write it down. Big letters. Don't scribble it all messy. take your time, stop rushing. You're like, you know, we're so used to getting everything now. If I want Uber, it's there. If I want food, Deliveroo's there. If I want anything, if I want a new girlfriend, I go on social media, there's thousands of women to message. Like, stop wanting it now. Take your time and sit down. Turn your phone upside down on silent. Write down in clear letters, what don't you like about yourself? Be honest. Don't lie to yourself. And then stick that on your mirror and look at that every day. Look at it. I'll say, well, I feel fat. I feel overweight. I feel sluggish. I feel like a shit dad. I haven't got enough money in my bank because I spend it on booze and entertaining associates in Mayfair that I'm probably never going to see again. You know, they probably won't even come to my funeral or my wedding. So let's stop spending there. And let's put all these things in a big list and stick it on the mirror and look at it every day. People go, don't be so hard on yourself. You call yourself fat. Well, I am. I'm out of shape. Not now, but, you know, people that are not looking after themselves. And I always tell them, stop listening to that sweet mother's voice because they lie. And my mum doesn't lie. She lies to you. She tells you you're great the way you are. You're not great the way you are. Because if you were, you wouldn't be messaging me. You're not great. You could be great, but you're not right now. And you are overweight and you're not happy with your life. And you've got many problems that you need to look at and you need to self-reflect. So write them down on a piece of paper and let's start reading that every morning until it sinks into your head that you need to make a change and you need to set goals and you need to follow them. And that's what you need to be doing. But some people don't like to hear that. Yeah. They'll listen to that and it might hurt their feelings.
So true. And sometimes we just need that wake-up call, don't we? Just to reflect and start again. And then tell us a bit more about, Shiru, what actually do people get if they were to sign up to that? What does it actually look like?
So it's £9.99 a month. We do offer a 3 days free trial and you get a one-time setup. So we call it creating your Shiru circle, your safe place. So you can use all the features one time to see if, do I like this? So you set it up. And then if you do like it, you activate the 3 days. So you then get the number 3 days. And after that, it's £10 a month. So there's everything from journaling, ritual creating. You've got access to the AI therapy tool. We've got expert pods on there. Matt's delivered some pods on there talking about addiction and alcohol and stuff. We've got everything from life coaching all the way up to doctors. And it's all content solely created for Shiru. So we don't use third party content. We don't plug in anyone else's stuff. So it's all our library and it's all unique to Shiru. It doesn't just explain the problem, it gives them the post action to come back to the app and do something which can help that situation. And it's been very successful today. We've got some real big clients. It's going really, really well. So really, really happy. But I've been putting in 15-hour days and challenging myself to burnout, which then I did a bit of research on. It's probably not something I want to challenge anymore because it can be quite severe.
Yeah, I think that catches you. When you find that passion project, and again, you align with something that's meaningful and purposeful to you, then time goes out the window, doesn't it, a little bit? You want to work on it because you love it. Same as myself. I feel like I do what I love. Therefore, my only problem is not doing it. Exactly that. So I'm not doing 15, 16 hours a day and I'm liable exactly that. I'll go at it and then I'll fall over and then I'll pick myself up after a few days of not being well and then go back at it again. So I think, like everyone in this space, the great irony is that we're in the health and wellbeing space, as are you, but being those entrepreneurs and those thought leaders in the space, at times you have to remember to look after yourself.
Yeah.
And back to the point though, I think with your alcohol-free superpowers, it gives you the ability to go longer and harder.
Yeah.
Without breaking down. And I think that in itself is a power tool.
It's like having a battery pack for your phone. And that's the only way I can explain the analogy, because it's that extra boost you need. And no one wants to run out of phone battery, right? Because that's like our heart, our brain, like it's our left arm, isn't it? So having that battery pack, it's like you feel revived again.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like. I can wake up. We did go out for dinner, although I moaned about it the whole way there. And after, on the way home, I was happy because being the introvert, I was like, do we have to go for this? Yeah. You always make me do things I don't want to do. She's like, if you don't come, that's it. I've had enough. You don't ever come to anything no more. And I was like, moaned, huffed and puffed. All the way getting ready, getting dressed, out of the car, in the taxi, moaning, right? And life's too short to moan, by the way. And I'm so against it. But again, I contradicted myself massively because I moaned the whole way. But then after, I was like, I had such a fun evening speaking to some people. There was some intelligent people there. I gained value from them. It was great. I ate some nice food. I didn't drink alcohol. And I got home at 11:30 at night, which for me was really late when usually the clubs don't open till 11. And I woke up the next day and we were both saying, like, mate, we didn't have no hangover. Like, how amazing. I don't really feel tired today. I feel good. It sort of recharged me. So then I was like, I get charged from being around people. So am I an introvert? And I'm going through that transition if I don't know what the fuck I am, which is okay. Because as long as I know where I'm going, what I am doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, we'll figure itself out, mate.
Mm.
Figure yourself out. But I think it's mega inspiring, and just wanted to thank you as well, because we on the last Get Dry course we did, when we, it was actually the January one, so we had our record breaking amount of people on there, and Laurie came on and did a it was kind of Q&A, wasn't it? And,
yeah, it was really
spoke
good,
openly
yeah.
and honestly about it, and it was really good.
I had lots of feedback after that. It was really good, real good call.
Yeah, so I'm sure people will get loads out of this conversation as well, mate, and we'll do this again. Like, we'll be lovely to pick up with you in a couple more months,
see where you're at.
See what happened in Barbados. Everyone's going to want to know now.
Oh, yeah. Like, exactly. It's like EastEnders, we've left it on the
door. Yeah. What happens in Barbados?
And what's the best place for people to follow if they don't follow you already?
Instagram at Loza Haynes. Find me there, and then you can see all of my other platforms from my bio there. Anyone's got any questions on being carnivore, the start of it, the middle of it, the end of it? Let me know. I will give you some honest feedback. How I've stayed dry and sober, please ask me. And I'll give you the honest truth. If you want to know more about Shiraz, just ask me. And then, yeah, thanks, guys.
That's brilliant, man. Love that you're open to all that as well. So you'll probably get bombarded now with people like we do on a daily basis. How do I do it? How do I make it stick? So that's really like good of you to offer that out as well. So, thank you for joining us, mate. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, top man.
Cheers, love guys. That.